go. First Samuel, chapter number 1. Brother Ross, do you have the air conditioning turned on? It is on. Make sure the temperature didn't jump. First Samuel, chapter number 1. Brian read verses 9 through verse 18. We find a very interesting story here about Hannah. We've been looking at how to. 2 weeks ago, we looked at how to read your Bible. Last week, we talked about how to know that you're saved. And today, I want to talk about how to get things from God when you pray. How to get things from God when you pray. We are, as Christians, you know, we look around so much at our society and we're so quick to blame our society on the ill wills or the wrong direction that we're headed in as a whole, or the downfall of our culture, or however you want to define that. But I honestly think that the reason why we're in the direction that we're going in is because we have prayerless Christians. Right. Which is a powerless Christian. Many years ago, when I was in college, I used to sell rainbows. Anybody know what a rainbow is? Several of you, is a rainbow vacuum cleaner. I sold them for a time when I was in college, and one of the things, if you will, that I used to, one of the tricks that I used to play on people that I was selling it to is you could turn the motor on without actually having the vacuum tube plugged in. And so what I would do is I would take their vacuum cleaner, or I'm sorry, I would take my vacuum cleaner, the Rainbow, and I would have it plugged in and I would turn on the motor, but I didn't have the hose hooked into the actual unit, but they didn't know that. And I would take a pile of dirt that I had already vacuumed up from their carpet to show them that their vacuum wasn't working, and I would take all those little white squares of dirt and I'd put them back in a pile, and I would take the vacuum that I had, the Rainbow, and I say to them, you tell me when the dirt's all gone. And I'd move it back and forth to where all the dirt would just move, and they'd say, now it's all gone. And without even shutting off my vacuum, I would just pull the hose around and show them that it was never even plugged in. All I did is move the dirt around. And then they'd give me that look on their face. That's the way a lot of Christians are. We're not plugged in. The motor's on, but we're not plugged into God at all. You're here today. Maybe you go through the motions of Christianity. We sang the songs, but we know that we're really powerless. If somebody in need came to you and needed an answer to prayer, could they count on you as that kind of a Christian that can get a hold of God? See, that's the kind of Christian we ought to be. That when people need something from God, they need a prayer answered, that they have confidence, that they know that you walk with God, that their prayer could be answered. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how we don't have to apologize for it, Lord. We just need to obey it and submit to it. God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us today, Lord, to become, if we're not praying Christians, to become a praying Christian, to become more of a praying Christian, Lord, to realize that anything and everything that we need and have, Lord, we have through you. Lord, I pray that you would empower us today. Father, if there's someone here that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, today I pray they put their faith and trust in you. Lord, it's not works. It's not a list of things that they have to do, Father. It's acknowledging what you've already done on the cross 2,000 years ago. Lord, I pray that you would help anyone today, Lord, that would need to put their faith and trust in you. Speak to hearts today. Remove distractions. Help us to be alert and attentive, Lord, as the word of God is preached. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you today to think about your own prayer life. And I want you to ask yourself the question, do I have an effective prayer life? We know that prayer is important in our lives as Christians, but do we know how to pray? I don't think there'd be an individual here that would say, I don't think prayer is that big of a deal. I think we would all acknowledge the fact that prayer is extremely important, but understand the importance of it, do you know how to? Barna did a poll many years ago where he interviewed over 1,000 preachers and he asked them to list 1 through 10 in order of importance what their priorities are. And at the number one position of every single preacher that filled out their survey, prayer was number one. Then about a year later, he did that survey again to the same preachers, but he asked them to prioritize their time and to place in order what they're spending their time on, from one being taking most of their time to number 10 being what takes up the least amount of time. On that list that they filled out 1 year later, number 10 was prayer. They understood it was the most important thing, but it was the least acknowledged and attended thing. How can we pray, and how do we know, or how can we actually get our prayers answered? D.L. Moody said, I'd rather be able to pray than be a great preacher. Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach, but he did teach them how to pray. Moody was well aware of the importance of prayer in the Christian life, and many times over the years I've preached on how important prayer is. We've done series on prayer. But today I just want us to think about how to pray. When it comes to learning how to pray, I think a great example is Hannah here in the Bible. We not only see her praying, but we see her prayer getting answered. When's the last time you had a prayer answered? And I don't mean, as I said before, Lord, help this son to come up in the morning. I mean a specific personal prayer that you asked God about and God answered. We not only see Hannah praying, but we see her getting an answer to her prayer. Look at verse 20, if you will, of 1 Samuel chapter 1 here. Verse 20 says, Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. She named the son she received from God in answer to prayer, Samuel, which means asked of God. That's what happened. Her son was a testimony to how Hannah prayed and that God answered that prayer. And so we're going to look at this example, great example of prayer, and we're going to learn how we can pray and how we can get our prayers answered as Hannah did. First, think with me about the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer. Look at verse number 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, look at the next phrase, and prayed unto the Lord. And prayed unto the Lord. Why did Hannah pray? Why do we pray? Why do you pray today? What's the reason of prayer? What's the purpose of prayer? Philip Brooks, who's a great preacher from Boston back in the 1800s, said this. He said, a prayer in its simplest definition is merely a wish turned Godward. Let me sum up the purpose of prayer for you in two thoughts. First, the purpose of prayer is to request things from God. That's what Hannah is doing here. In verse 11, look what she says. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child. That's what she's asking. If you will give me a man-child. In verse 5 and verse number 6, we see that the Lord had shut up her womb. She wasn't having any children. She was barren, unable to have a child. And when we see her praying, we find her requesting that God give her a son. We find her praying specifically, asking a question, requesting something from God. Prayer, simply defined as our coming to God and asking Him for certain things. At times we ask for what concerns ourselves personally. That word is often indicated by the word supplication. It's you asking God for something personally. Now I'm not talking about a Lamborghini or something like that. We'll talk about that here in a few moments. But simply put, supplication is requesting from God. It's very common in the Bible, and it usually speaks of our bringing our personal needs to Jesus. At other times, we ask for what concerns others. When we're praying for other people and their needs, or God to intervene in their life, that's usually the word intercession. We call it an intercessory prayer. In other words, we're interceding for somebody else. We pray for family members. We pray for church members. We pray for political leaders. We pray for others. Others to be saved. Others to get well. That's intercessory prayer. And intercession is prayer with a focus, not on our needs, but on the needs of others. Prayer, whether asking for things that concern ourselves personally or others, is still a matter of asking. You're still asking something. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Ask him. Jesus said in Matthew 21 verse 22, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." So prayer is simply asking. It's the purpose, if you will, is not just requesting things from God, but it's also receiving things from God. Hannah not only requested a son from the Lord, but she also received a son from the Lord. Look at verse 17. "Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.'" And in verse 20, as we just read a few moments ago, it says, "And she bare a son." And she bare a son. There was a request on her part, but there was also a reception on her part. She received what she asked for. The purpose of prayer is to request things from God that we might receive things from God. Why bother praying about something that you don't expect God to answer? That seems kind of pointless. If you want God to answer the prayer, then pray about it. But if you don't think God's even going to answer the prayer, then why are you wasting your time talking to him? Ask with the purpose of receiving. One of the books that was mandatory reading when I was in Bible college, and I'm sure Brother Isaac, you probably read it too, was John R. Rice's book, which was entitled "Prayer is Asking and Receiving." That was the title of the book, and it's not only one of the best books that I've ever read on prayer, but the title tells you what prayer really is. Prayer is asking and receiving. Dr. Rice would say prayer is asking, and the answer to prayer is the receiving. And so the very purpose of prayer tells us that prayer is to be a spiritual exercise in which we get things from God when we pray. It's not just muttering words that go as high as the ceiling. It's more than that. It's us, spiritually speaking, making sure that our request is sent to the very throne of God, ask things from God, and then actually get from God the things that we're asking for. Now again, I'm not trying to sound charismatic today. I'm not trying to be this name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, and all that silliness that you just speak it, just speak the words and God's going to get it. That's unscriptural. That's unbiblical. There's all kinds of verses that we'll see here about prayer. You know, I want when my children need something from me, I want them to come and ask me with the hope that I'm going to give them what they need. Key word. Need. There's a lot of things that they want. I still want them to ask me that too, but I want them to be satisfied with the answer being no at times. "Dad, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. May I eat a gallon of ice cream?" No. "But as soon as you go to bed, I am going to eat a gallon of ice cream." And overweight businessman decided it was time to shed some excess pounds. He took his new diet very seriously, even changing his driving route so that he could avoid his favorite bakery. One morning, however, he arrived at work carrying a gigantic coffee cake. Everybody scolded him because they knew he was on this diet, but yet he's standing there with this giant coffee cake, and I mean, he just had the biggest, cheesiest grin on his face. He said to his fellow workers, co-workers, he said, "This is a very special coffee cake." And they said, "Really?" how is it a very special coffee cake? He said, well, I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and there in the window was this coffee cake. He said, and I felt this was not an accident that I drove by and saw that coffee cake in the window, so I prayed. And I said, Lord, if you want me to have one of those delicious coffee cakes, let me have a parking place directly in front of the bakery. And sure enough, he said, the eighth time around the block, there was a parking spot right in front of the bakery. The very definition of prayer indicates that God answers prayer, receiving. And the wonderful experience of answered prayer can be and should be commonplace in the life of a Christian. Should be normal. Should be regular for you to say, well, I was praying, I was talking to God the other day, and man, God answered a prayer. God met my needs. James understood in the Bible why there is not more answered prayer in the life of God's people, because he said in the book of James, he said, ye have not because ye ask not. That's the purpose of prayer, to request things from God and to receive things from God. The purpose of prayer. Secondly, we see the procedures of prayer. And Hannah, we not only have an example of an individual who prayed unto the Lord, that's what she did. She asked and she received. But the question is, how did she pray? Why did God answer her prayer? And maybe you're asking, well, yeah, I pray, but God's not answering my prayers. What were the procedures, if you will, that made her prayer an effective prayer? Now again, let me point out before we consider how she prayed that the story shared nothing about her posture. In the Bible, we find people praying in various positions or postures. In 1 Kings 8:54, Solomon was kneeling on the ground with his hands outstretched to heaven. In Genesis 19:27, the Bible says Abraham stood before the Lord. As far as our posture is concerned, I think God's more concerned with us praying than worrying about our posture. The question I want to ask is, how should we pray? And again, continuing to look at Hannah here, we see some things. How she prayed, to be honest with you, is a sermon in and of itself. But there are several things I want to point out, procedure-wise, that describe her and how she prayed, that maybe you can look at your own life and say, you know what? That's something that I'm not doing. That's something that I need to do. How did she pray? First of all, she prayed specifically. Specifically. As I mentioned earlier, she prayed and asked God to give her a man-child. She prayed specifically for a son. She didn't just pray for a child, because a child could be a boy, a child could be a girl. She didn't just ask for a child, she asked for a son. Specific. When you pray, do you pray specifically? I mean just detail. Lay it out there before God. Be specific. You know, here's what we pray. Lord, please bless my life. How do you want God to bless your life? Do you want God to bless your life with trials? You want God to bless your life with whatever he wants to do? What does that mean? Bless my life. Lord, bless so-and-so. And we pray that way all the time. Lord, bless so-and-so. What does that mean? How do you want God to bless them? Be specific when you pray. When we pray specifically, we ask for specific ways in which we want God to bless us. How about, Lord, help me to have your strength today. Lord, use me to win others to Christ. Lord, help me, Lord, to have somebody cross my path that I can help today. Lord, help me when that person shows up to not react in the flesh. There are a lot of things that we can pray about if we pray specifically. But we just use this general type prayer because that makes us feel good because we prayed. But what does that mean? Lord, bless my marriage. In what way? Financially? Physically? Getting along? What do you mean? Communication? Security? What does that mean? I see, when we talk to others, we're specific. My wife sent me to the store, I forget which day it was, she sent me to the Egypt Bakery over on Allentown, and she sent me a text and she said, I need you to get rye bread. Now to me, rye bread is rye bread. It's just rye bread. But she was very specific. I need unseeded rye bread that gets sliced. I said, they don't already slice it? She says, no. She says, not that kind of a baker. It's not like you go to Giant and buy a loaf of bread. So I walked in and I had my phone and I deleted. Okay, here's what she wants: unseeded rye bread sliced. Does that make sense? She said, it makes perfect sense. I said, okay. That's specific. Because if my wife said, can you go get bread? Good old white bread works for me just fine. But she was specific. When I say to my wife, do you want to go out to eat tonight? The normal response to that is, where? And it's funny because my wife can say, where would you like to go out to eat? And then I'll name a restaurant. I say, no, I don't want to go there. Now why did you just ask me where I wanted to go to eat? You pick where we go to eat and we'll go there and eat. I'm happy with where, are you sure? Wherever you want to go is where I want to go. As long as it's not spicy food, I'm good. No, specific. We talk in specifics. You tell your children. You don't just say, at least you shouldn't just say, go clean your room. Because to a child or to a person of the male gender, our idea of cleaning something and our wives' or our mother's idea of cleaning something is night and day. But yet, we talk in specifics. I want you to pick up your laundry, hang up your clothes, we get very specific. Why don't we pray that way? I mean, if we're talking to God, if we're talking to our Savior, why wouldn't we speak to Him in specifics of how we want God to work in our lives? So one way that we can improve or learn how to pray is to start praying specifically. When I pray for folks in church, I don't say, Lord, just bless all the folks in church. No, I get specific. I know what some of the needs are. I know what some of the struggles are. And I want God to answer them specifically. It's one thing to say, Lord, bless all of our missionaries. We have 22 of them. That's real easy. That's almost like we're just looking for an out, but to say we still did it. All of our missionaries are listed in the church bulletin. Most churches don't even do that. I do it on purpose. Because they're an extension of our ministry. We support them. We pray for them. We read their prayer letters. We acknowledge them. So I want every Sunday, when you open up your prayer bulletin, to see a list of not only their names, but where they're at. So you could say more than, Lord, bless our missionaries. How about, Lord, bless Brother Sergio Robles in Mexico and the work he's doing. Bless the Martins in Peru as they're trying to adopt a child. And there are 3 churches that they've started. Bless them. Use them. Empower them. Strengthen them. It's one thing to ask God to bless the ministries of our church. Lord, bless our church. That's vague. How about, Lord, bless the Sunday school teachers. Help them as they study. Help them to stay healthy. Encourage them. Help them to grasp the material. Lord, bless the junior church teachers because they need it, because all of our children are in that classroom. The nursery workers. Give them patience. Help them not to have to deal with any sick children, colicky children, screaming children. Specific. Why don't we do that? Hannah prayed specifically. She asked for a man-child. But notice also she prayed submissively. Look at verse 11. She prayed, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. You know, there was a neat statement that says, nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. When we look at Hannah in prayer, we find that she placed her prayer, and this is important, she placed her prayer within the boundaries, if you will, of God's will. She never doubted that God could give her a son, but that he would give her a son. She said, if thou wilt, was what she asked. She was asking God to give her a son if it was God's will. It's important. Submissive. Not arrogant, that, Lord, I saw this blue Camaro, Lord, and I deserve it because I'm a Christian, so give it to me. No, she prayed with a heart of submission, Lord, I know I haven't been able to have to, but Lord, if thou wilt look upon me, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, I'd love to have a son. The Bible says in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. We need to remember this about prayer. Prayer is never getting our will done in heaven, but it's getting God's will done on earth. That's what we're praying for. God, we want your will on earth, not our will. You can pray for pink Cadillacs all you want. You can pray for money to mysteriously show up in your bank account to cover the checks that you wrote that you know you didn't have the amount of money to cover. But God only answers prayers that are aligned to His will. When we think of praying, when we're praying, it must be, Lord, not my will. Lord, thine be done. I use my kids as an illustration about having ice cream. That would be foolish to ask that. If Gavin came up to me, where is Gavin?
There
you are. If Gavin came up to me, he's 8 years old, and said, hey, Dad, give me the keys to the car. I want to go take a trip to the mall. Now, he could ask, but he already knows ahead of time, that's not according to my dad's will. Mom's going to frown upon that. It would be a foolish prayer. It would be a foolish request. Why? Because it's not according to it would be according to his will. Grayson's already trying. Dad, let me take the car down the street. Dad, I want to go play basketball down the street. Give me the keys. No, I'm kidding. You didn't do that. Why do we go and ask God for things that we know going into the prayer that that's not according to His will? Why are we asking? Submissively. Lord, I'm submitting to Your will. God, I would love this prayer answered, but Lord, I only want You to answer if it's according to Your will. Not only submissively, but continually. Look at verse 12. It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. That does not mean that Eli had a permanent marker and he went up to her and wrote on her face. That's not what that means. Eli marking her mouth means that he was watching her mouth while she was praying. She was continuing in prayer. It would seem here that Hannah did not pray out loud, but was kind of expressing her petitions quietly, and her lips were moving. He heard it for a while, and all of a sudden she was quiet, but her lips were still moving. And Brother Hiles used to tell a story about how he would be driving with John R. Rice, and John R. Rice would be, his lips would be moving and kind of mumbling, and Brother Hiles would say, yes, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. And Brother Rice would look at him, I wasn't talking to you. And then a couple minutes later, he started doing it again. He'd say, you keep saying something, but I can't hear you. And finally, John R. Rice, I'm not talking to you, I'm praying. I'm talking to God. That's what Hannah is doing here. Just continually. Just that the Bible says to pray without ceasing. The Bible says that we're to pray and not to faint. Look, if you go back in verse number 6. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. She, talking about Hannah, verse 6 and 7 here, speaks of how she was provoked by her adversary year after year when her and her husband went to the temple. Maybe year after year she prayed that God would give her a son. When we see her praying here, she lingers before the Lord. She's not going in and going out. It's not saying my quick prayer and get out of here. She stays before God. She's continuing in prayer. She's not in a hurry. Boy, how easy, or how easily we give up on prayer. I think of my mom's testimony a few weeks ago. How long were you witnessing to Robin? For how many years? How many? Maybe 35 years. And she just got saved not too long ago. I remember Angel, now married, living out of Michigan, how he would pray, and I've been with him, pray and beg God for his mom to get saved. 10 years before Oprah and we were meeting in the other building when she trusted Christ as her Savior. You just don't know, but you don't stop. You continue in prayer. You keep praying. I just don't see any hope in this thing. Why are you giving up on God? Keep praying. Never quit praying for things that you're asking for. Just because God doesn't answer your prayer immediately doesn't mean He's not going to answer your prayer, because there is this thing called timing. And it is according to God's will, not yours. And I understand there's a lot of things that we'd love to see happen right now. It just makes sense to us right now. It doesn't mean it makes sense to God. It doesn't mean it's right now. Maybe God has to do some work in our hearts before He answers a prayer. Jesus taught us the importance of a word called importunity over in the book of Luke when it comes to praying. When He kept asking, kept knocking on the door, and finally the man got up and he said, I only answered the door because of your much importunity, because of your incessant knocking, just constantly knocking on the door. But we give up way too easily on prayer. Continual. Do you have a matter, a situation, a person that you've been praying for that you've since stopped praying for them? Why'd you do that? Is there somebody that you've been praying for their salvation and you just stopped praying for them? Why'd you do that? Year after year, Hannah said, Lord, I sure would love a child. A man child is what I love. And she kept praying, she kept praying, she kept praying. Notice also she prayed fervently. Look at verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Skip over to verse 15. The Bible says, and Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. That's the kind of praying we don't see much of anymore. Fervent praying. Not some casual, half-hearted, lackadaisical praying on Hannah's part. No, we find this woman weeping before God, pouring out her heart before God. There's a great fervency, there's an intensity, if you will, about her getting a hold of God. We see that same kind of praying by Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when He prayed, and the Bible says that His sweat was as if it were great drops of blood. When's the last time you had a fervent, intense, just serious time in prayer with God? God, I need to be with You. God, I need this prayer. So God, I want it according to Your will, Lord. I'm not going to leave You. So often our prayers are so boring. Almost to the point where they're atheistic. We're praying with the full realization and acknowledgement that God is not even listening to us and we are wasting our time, but we have to go through the motions anyway. I appreciate the prayers of young children. They're just real. You know, we go out to eat as adults and we pray for the meal and it's pretty routine. You take Rowan out to eat with you and ask her to pray for the meal, and your food's going to be cold by the time she's done. Because she's praying for every family member. She's praying for the military. I mean, she's praying for our rabbit to get saved. I mean, she's just praying for everything. It's the heart there. It's important to her. The Bible says in James 5:16 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. E.M. Bounds, whose writings on prayer are just class all by themselves. He's written several books on prayer and actually has it in a whole series and wonderful, wonderful book. But in one of his books on prayer, listen to what he says. Prayer without fervor stakes nothing on the issue because it has nothing to stake. It comes with empty hands. Hands, too, which are listless as well as empty, which have never learned the lesson of clinging to the cross. Fervorless prayer has no heart in it. It's an empty thing, an unfit vessel. Heart, soul, and life must find place in all real praying. Heaven must be made to feel the force of this kind of crying unto God. He describes fervency in prayer as, fervency has its seat in the heart, not in the brain, nor in the intellectual faculties of the mind. Fervency, therefore, is not an expression of the intellect. Fervency of spirit is something far transcending poetical fancy or sentimental imagery. It's something else besides mere preference, the contrasting of like with dislike. Fervency is the throb and gesture of the emotional nature. That's a man who understood fervency in prayer. Fervency in prayer is pouring out the soul before God. It's our emotions being engaged with prayer. We come before God with a longing heart. We weep before God as we cry out to Him in prayer. And usually, when things are going really bad in our lives, that's when our prayer gets a little bit more fervent. Why is that? Why can't we be fervent every time we pray? Growing up, we would have youth activities, youth conferences, but on Friday nights we'd have youth activities. Sometimes we'd combine with other churches. And there'd be 40, 50, 60 teenagers. And we would go to McDonald's after the activity. And there's one preacher in particular, Pastor Bradbury. Pastor Bradbury stands about 5 feet tall. But he is built like a house. And we'd go into this restaurant, McDonald's. I mean, it's a Friday night, so it's not only is our church group there, our teenagers, but there's 100 other people. And we'd get all of our food, and we'd all be sitting, and Pastor Bradbury would say loudly, "All right, teenagers, look up here. Teenagers, look up here. It's time to pray for the food." Now, everybody in the restaurant